So, Nehemiah chapter 13, I'm going to pray before we dig into this chapter. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And as we face uncertain times, we realize we are not the first to do so. And in fact, your people have faced much more challenging times throughout history. And the encouragement is always to trust you and seek you and follow you wholeheartedly. So this morning, I pray we'd be encouraged to do that and that you would take your word and through your spirit, lead us into understanding and grow our relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 13 of Nehemiah. Now, I'm being conscious of time, not going to we'll go through the chapter, but not address everything in it, and we'll be in chapter 13 next week as well, and probably wrap up the book of Nehemiah next week. So we'll look at a couple different points this morning in this chapter. Now, just as a review, or just where we're at with the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, but really a good chunk of chapter 10, we saw that the people spent time hearing God's word. And the indication is they hadn't heard it in some time. And so they spent time being taught, having the word read to them, and being explained. And then out of that, they moved into a time where they repented, they confessed, and they worshiped. And they moved from there to promise to obey the Lord. Now, and they made a covenant. And specifically, they agreed that they would not have foreign marriages, that they would observe the Sabbath, and that they would bring their tithes and their first fruits and essentially be generous and support those who ministered as they were instructed to do. So what they had promised to do was they had promised to separate, be people set apart unto the Lord. They promised to support the priests and Levites, really the house of God and the ministry. And they promised to observe the Sabbath, to quit working on the Sabbath all the time and being more conscious of making money than setting aside time to rest and seek the Lord. We'll see in our chapter today that they had started to compromise, and it didn't take them that long to do so. One of the things we'll look at today is the idea or the principle of separation unto the Lord, being set apart to Him, which really, I believe, we can draw very much the link to the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the greatest commandment. This is what we're called to do, is love the Lord, to have a devotion to Him. When we start compromising or mixing with those who do not follow the Lord in the sense that they have influence over us and draw us away, this interferes with loving the Lord, our God, with all our heart. So this is happening to the Israelites. So let's get into the chapter. Chapter 13, verse 1 starts with "on that day." Now, I'll just address this, because I looked at this for a little bit, and the timeline needs to be clarified. So from chapter 12, end of chapter 12 to chapter 13, we have about there's about a 12-year break there, and that means, and so when it says on that day, just hang on a minute, I have a distraction behind the screen. There's something I need to know. Okay, sorry about that. So, I'll backtrack. On that day, it says, there's a 12-year break between chapter 12, chapter 13. On that day means the day in which the events of chapter 13 are happening. That's the day. So, as we look at some of the things that are addressed here in chapter 13, we'll see that on that day, they got back into the Word of God, and then these events unfold. So carrying on that day, they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So it was when they heard the law that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. So the Ammonites and Moabites, they were enemies of Israel, and it's indicated in this verse. We won't get into the history of it, but they were long-standing enemies of Israel. And the Israelites, and this is an important thing to note, they were told to be separate from them. They should not come into the assembly of God, these people. And what we'll find is that the Israelites had started compromising in this area. And now for a little more context, the Jews, the Israelites, they were part of God's covenant. God had a covenant with them, and they were part of that covenant by birth. But if we look at, say, an Ammonite or Moabite, they were not. And if they wanted to participate, they had to choose to do so by joining with God's covenant people, the Israelites, and leaving the gods of their people. And so they had to choose to reject those gods and embrace the Lord God. And so to try and understand what's going on here, the situation is they have a mixed, it's called a mixed multitude, but they had mixed allegiances. They had this group of people, they've got Israelites and foreigners, and there's a mix of belief systems and practices and commitment to the Lord going on. It's the idea some are there just because they like to be there. They're not there to follow the Lord. There's no commitment. And for us as God's people, we do need to realize we're not to be a mixed multitude when it comes to allegiance. And many churches have fallen to pieces because the mixed allegiances have worked their way right up to the leadership, and then the whole thing falls apart. And we'll see in our text that this was starting to happen for the Israelites as well. And also, just context too, Nehemiah had left and gone back to Persia, but he wasn't gone very long, just perhaps a year, that kind of thing, and the people are drifting off course. So, we're not to be a mixed multitude in allegiance. Now, this can be confusing, I think, at times. We live under the covenant of grace, the new covenant. We understand we're to be salt, we're to be light, we're to share the gospel with people. This is important. The Great Commission says to go into all the world. We're to do all this, But the reminder is, and I like to put it this way, who's influencing who? Are we going out being salt and light? Or are we going out and then starting to take on the characteristics of the world? Romans 12:1-2. We've looked at this verse, these verses a few times. I'll read them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are encouraged, commanded, as we are in the world, to live sacrificial lives before the Lord. And this is what the Israelites aren't doing. They're living compromised lives rather than sacrificial lives. 1 John 2, 15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And there is such great blessing, we know, in doing the will of God. And yet it is so easy to move into the area of compromise and love of the world. It's happened to people before us. It happens to us. The Israelites, we'll see. Why do they fail to observe the Sabbath? Because they can sell goods on the Sabbath. They can make money. Why do they want to do that? Well, if we trace it back, it will boil down to lack of trust in God or love of worldly things. So, just as it was important for the people in Nehemiah's day to remember that they're to be set apart, we need to remember that we are to be set apart unto the Lord as well. It's very important. It very much helps us have clarity as to where we're at, what things we need to grow in, and also help other people grow from where they are at. If we start getting mixed in our allegiances, we can start forgetting who's supposed to be helping who and get off on the wrong track, which, to put it more bluntly, is start disobeying the Lord, even when we've committed to not doing so, like the Israelites had. Thankfully, and I'll remind you of this, God is gracious. When we realize that we have done wrong, we need to come to Him and confess, and He will forgive us. All right, verses 4 through 9. Now before this, Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a large room where previously that they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers, and the offerings for the priests. But during all this I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then after certain days I obtained leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. Tobiah, we've seen a number of times in the book of Nehemiah. He's an Ammonite. He was an enemy of Nehemiah and the people of Israel. And Nehemiah is gone, and we're not sure how long. The thought is about a year. He comes back, and here's this guy. He's set up in the temple, the very place of worship. And this is a reminder of how very quickly the enemy will set up shop in the place of worship if it's allowed. And our enemy will try and move us away from worshiping the Lord. Whatever he can do. And our flesh is prone to drifting away from the Lord as well and obstructing our worship, our life of worship. Now we'll see as we get further through the chapter that Eliashib the priest, he had allowed this. We see that here, but we'll see he had a relative who was married into one of the enemy families, Sanballat, I believe. So, there's a connection, there's influence, there's compromise. He didn't have a clear, we can look at this, I believe, and go, he didn't have clear-cut lines of separation. He started the whispers of the enemy or the whispers of the world started to have an effect on him. And he allows the unthinkable, really. So remember, the people of Israel and Eliashib being a priest along with them had committed to obedience. But at least some of them, and right up through the leadership, have somehow rationalized disobedience. And so the reminder for us is compromise, it starts small, but it will grow until it has at full control, or it gets dealt with. It's one or the other. It will keep growing until it's come to full fruition, or we deal with it. Nehemiah gives us an example of dealing with it. We'll talk a little more about Nehemiah and the way he handles this next week. But what does he do? He doesn't debate. He throws them out. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. And he throws this guy and his stuff right out of the temple because he never should have been there to start with. And when we find compromise, this is an example of what to do with it. Take it and throw it out of our lives. Easier said than done, I realize. However, at the same time, it's not as hard as we make it out to be sometimes, because really it boils down to a submission of the will. So Nehemiah was submitted to the will of God. Eliashib seems to have been submitted to the whispers of the world, if you will, which had gotten very loud for him to allow what was going on. Verse 10.